Federal agencies constantly hunt for new products and services to help them solve problems, but they often skip over startups and other non-traditional sources. Now, that might be changing. Venture capitalist Jonathan Aberman discusses the latest Inc. 500 list with Tom Temin.
Back in 97, if you look at the high-growth businesses, the ones that were growing rapidly and putting people to work, 75% of them were concentrated in three industries: software and computer hardware and media and advertising, 75%. In 2015, 95% were concentrated in IT services, government services, and healthcare services, and the other 5%, consulting. So there wasn't a single software company on the list, there wasn't a single telecom company on the list, and the conclusion that I've reached is that we are literally our own worst enemies. We look at entrepreneurship in this region and completely disregard and don't pay attention to how adaptable our entrepreneurial class is and how they will follow the money. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in 97, there was an unbelievable amount of venture capital money floating around trying to take advantage of a big macro trend, which was the invention of the printing press, otherwise known as the creation of the World Wide Web and the Internet.
Sure.
And at that time, there was a lot of venture capital money dedicated to that, and areas of particular interest for the printing press era of the internet was telecommunications and new media, which were areas that we had a lot of expertise in. So not only did we get 6 to 7% of the money on an aggregate basis during that period, in those specific areas, we got more. Fast forward to today, the venture capital industry now is completely obsessed with the sharing economy. Sharing of photos on Facebook, sharing of taxis, sharing of apartments, and so forth.
And sofas, that kind of thing.
And particularly sofas, which are very valuable early in the morning, as you know, so or even late in the afternoon. What's interesting about that is that phenomenon, which is pushing companies like Snapchat, Airbnb, and Facebook, has largely passed in this region by. And what our entrepreneurs have focused on is the enormous opportunities that have become created by the national security establishment in the aftermath of 9/11. So our region's entrepreneurs have done something really, really well for the last 20 years, which is create a vibrant business community around self-started businesses. But as a region, we don't spend anywhere enough time really lionizing. So, for example, I was with an acquaintance last night, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing these days?" I said, "These days, I'm working on helping entrepreneurs connect with the federal government." He laughed at me, and he said, "Good luck." Good luck.
The luck might change because there are several things underway that might mitigate in favor of the government using these non-traditional startup types of sources. I'm thinking primarily of a new report that came out from the University of Maryland, led by the former Undersecretary of Defense, Jacques Gansler, for acquisition technology and logistics. And this says it's time to look at some non-traditional innovators and sources for what DOD needs to modernize.
So, as you know, I teach over at University of Maryland, and that's a great report. And again, it amplifies what we've been talking about, you and I, on the air for probably close to a year now. This is a big macro trend. Ash Carter continues to go out to Silicon Valley. DHS is about to open an office there. And what we really do now see is that the Department of Defense, national security establishments, and the GSA, I mean, everybody is now focusing on how to get more out of each dollar that they spend, which is driving them towards wanting to buy commercially available products rather than build to suit, you know? And that is the real issue here. And so what I really am struck by with this data is, unless we understand that our region's entrepreneurs are adaptable and that we should celebrate how well they've taken advantage of these opportunities, we're not really going to position our region to succeed in what's going to happen next. And what's going to happen next is sequestration will occur. I'm just positive. I know we don't talk about politics in our segments. It will happen in some way. And when it does, the pressure to continue to migrate towards product will only increase. And we need to make sure that we do everything we can to create an environment where our region's entrepreneurs can follow the money and the opportunities that are created by that. That's what Tandem's doing. That's what Professor Gensler over at Maryland's talking about. That's what our friend Stan Solway at Professional Service Council is talking about. And frankly, more and more people in this town are talking about. This is a big deal.
And there's one more gambit, and this is coming from the General Services Administration. It's put out a proposal to eliminate the rule for Schedule 70 IT contractors that they have to have 2 years of commercial experience before being able to be on the Schedule 70. Because I think the feeling is it's keeping a lot of leading edge products and services in IT out of the federal market when they could really use them. So maybe that's something entrepreneurs should do, is go to GSA and weigh in on that proposal.
Well, they absolutely should. And in the areas particularly of cybersecurity and data integrity and analytics and so forth, the reality is a lot of that innovation does happen in smaller teams that are freer thinkers from the standpoint of not being part of a larger environment. And I think that when you describe that rule change is a good recognition of that. Listen, there are so many different parts to this puzzle. It makes it almost impossible for people to comprehend, but that doesn't mean that it isn't a problem that we shouldn't be addressing. Because when you drive it all down to its core, the more that this region speaks with a voice of cogence and says, look, we have people here know how to get things done. We have people here that will always find a way. And we have, by the way, according to Inc. 500, we have consistently the region that produces the most or second most rapidly growing companies every year, every single year. So let us do everything we can to celebrate that and get people focused on creating that infrastructure. And we've laid out in prior months and we're laying out today, there are very clear things that we should be doing. And frankly, if we don't do them over the next 2 years, a lot of the things that we take for granted about high value added jobs and growth will suffer, not because of sequestration, but because we're not adapting.
And there might be an opportunity in this whole cybersecurity arena. Clearly, there have been hundreds of companies started up to provide network analysis and data analysis to help people have alerts and knowledge of when their network is being breached and other bad activities. But now I'm hearing from people, CISOs in the commercial and federal sector, and they're saying, I've got so many alerts going, that's created a kind of confusion of its own. So there might be an opportunity for either new software products or services that will take all of this monitoring that people are trying to do and make sense of it in a way that they don't have something buzzing in their pocket continually.
I think that ultimately technology is going to continue to develop its ability to give us information. And what artificial intelligence is going to do for us is figure out how to manage that information so that it becomes more streamlined. There are tremendous opportunities, for example, in cybersecurity with artificial intelligence. And that's a place where DARPA is spending a fair bit of time thinking, and other people are as well. But Tom, again, we should focus on cyber as a particular area of opportunity because we have a lot of reasons to. But let's not lose track of the opportunities that exist in robotics or personalized molecular medicine, for example. I mean, it's a little bit away from national security somewhat, but, you know, It's not far from DOD. And, Fairfax Innova is doing a very, very significant thing, as is George Mason, around helping people get better on a personal genetic level. That in itself could leapfrog the biotech industry. And NIH is right in this neighborhood. My point is to say, and agree with you, is that what entrepreneurs and what technologists who are entrepreneurs consistently do is they look at a situation and they say, what is really bothering me today? And what you just described is the CIO saying, I am overwhelmed with data. That is a problem that somebody will solve for them because that's what entrepreneurs do. And this town is so much more entrepreneurial than we give it credit for being.